Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Mortgage Voice with me, Jeff Barton, is available upon demand and on the air. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately on YouTube. Hey, we upload a version of this show, every week, to YouTube. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show on demand with mobile devices via any of our podcast partners. We have a lot of them. Apple, Google, Spreaker, IO, Clips, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole bunch more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio. We're on 5 stations, 3 different states, including markets in the Inland Empire, Southern California, Las Vegas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. Thanks again for tuning in, for showing up, and for listening to the show. Okay, I had like so much information to share, but we're on a different axis when it comes to what's happening both economically, locally, and I think locally it's affected by what happens at the Fed and what happens with the money and the real estate market, but the overall look during a wartime. We have not really had that in the U.S. For quite some time, even though, yes, we were 20 years in Afghanistan, but that had really, you know, sort of shrunk down in the minds of Americans to almost nothing, even though, you know, people were dying, obviously soldiers putting their lives on the line. But this invasion by Russia into Ukraine, how does it affect markets? How does it affect your ability to get a mortgage? Yes, it does affect it. Believe me, it's more than just sentiment. It's more than just how you feel about things. It's actually what happens to the world at large and your ability to get a loan. Okay, so let's talk quickly just because, you know, I couldn't prepare for a lot of this just because it had come up so quickly, and we're taping the show a few days before you're going to hear it. So commodities. Commodities in general are some of the strongest inflationary pressures on the marketplace and in your world, whether it's, you know, simple things like milk, butter, eggs, or it's more complex things like metals to produce microchips, which are in everything today, as everybody knows, whether it's your computer, whether it's your car, whether it's your toaster, or whether it's your, you know, watch. Anything that you have, cell phones that use chips, use metals. Metals are really derived from two different countries in the world for the most part. These countries are Ukraine and Russia. They are exporters. Some 25-30% of the precious metals exports around the world come from these two countries. So what happens when this supply gets interrupted for whatever reason? What happens? Okay. Cost of everything goes up. Now, we've talked about inflation and how that inflation affects both the psyche but also the purchasing power. If you have now a 25% increase in a lot of the things you're going to be buying over the next month, that detracts from what you're going to be able to pay in your mortgage. So therefore, you can buy less house with prices going up the way they are. So in some places, 18% year over year, right? That's a problem. And if you're one of these people who wants to get in on the market while it's still rising and while the rates are still relatively cheap, you need to be able to afford as much as your dollar will stretch. So all of these things that happen around the world, and there are many people who say, you know, it is spectacular because we see it on the news every day, but how much does it affect you in your life? This is how it affects you. The materials that cannot be imported, the materials that are now going to cost way more than they should to, you know, fit into every device or item that you buy, is going to make things more expensive. How much more expensive, and how much does that expense take away from your ability to pay for a mortgage on a monthly basis? I saw some interesting articles about exactly that. Not necessarily commodities, but if we have rates rise a certain amount and home prices rise a certain amount, let's say rates go up to 4.5%, 5%. Let's say that your house continues or the house that you want to buy continues to go up by 15% a year. That means you're going to be spending another $400, $500, $600 on your mortgage every month just because of those two things that have varied. You add into that the cost of your groceries, the cost of any item that you're going to be using at work, the cost of anything that you're going to be needing outside cell phones, cars, as I said, computers, televisions, all the chips that are needed in all these devices. That is also going to go up, and it's going to go up a lot. And holding back on the world market from those specific items means that your life is going to get harder. Now, obviously, in places like Ukraine, in places like Russia, with this going on, what their experiences are beyond, you know, the cost are the anguish, the unknown, the depression, or the adrenaline, all the things that happen in war situations, the boredom. Now, we don't know how long it'll last. We don't know what the ultimate goal is, if this is country gobbling or is this just a one and done. We're not quite sure. But it sets the world markets on such a footing. Now, we've talked in the past of if we do get a particular war between Ukraine and Russia, how that would the flight to safety that we've talked about, and how people will fly to U.S. treasuries. Well, we've seen a bit of that. Now, we haven't seen it enough to see mortgage rates come down. And again, this is a result of a cause and effect of what happens during these situations. Now, I remember, you remember, Daryl, you remember 9/11, right?
Of course, very much so.
Okay, so where were you? What were you doing at the time?
I was working in the aerospace business. I was just getting up, and the lead of the engineering department called me and said, turn on your television right now.
Right.
Because it was like 6:15, 6:30 in the morning, and I was just right. Starting to rustle around.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing happened to me. It wasn't for a week that we realized how things were affected. The world changed by both the communication, the ease by which I could move money in the business. I don't know about your business, but it seems pretty sensitive. There are probably a lot of changes there as well.
Absolutely.
So that's what's going to happen here. And we're not quite sure what that means in terms of your job, what we do on a daily basis, what we have to do in addition to what we're doing on a daily basis. I remember the president at the time, George Bush, said, if you see something, say something. That was the strategy for the Homeland Security at the time, whether it was the right security or not. But I remember it because it was something by which we began to think of the country in a different way, not as a safe place for everybody, even though, you know, the crime was what it was and everything else going on that made it unsafe for certain neighborhoods and peoples. But in the country itself, it was, okay, you're all on notice here. You all have to, like, pay attention to what's going on. I think those kind of things, maybe not for us, but they will be in place certainly in Europe. If you can imagine what's going on in some of these countries that border, whether it's Belarus or whether it's Poland or Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, any of these countries, and what happens to their psyche and how they're to prepare for what is or what isn't happening. And all this draws not only attention, but it draws resources from the federal government. So what happens to the Fed? What are they going to do? Are they going to now continue to tighten? We know inflation's going to go up. We know that that's going to eat into your ability to afford a mortgage. And we know that this is going to take place over a longer period of time than we possibly had thought about 2 weeks ago when the Fed was harping about raising interest rates for member banks 7, 8, 9 times in order to get inflation under control. Well, this shows you the limited capacity, and it is wait to be seen as to how much effect these type of rate rises are controlling inflation. All things being equal, if cost of business goes up, cost to you goes up as the consumer. And that's a fact. So all these things are interesting, and they're just now happening. Interesting to me because I'm on a talk show and I like to talk about it. But it may be painful for you if you're looking for a house and you've now got to add in the fact that cost of how you live, what you buy, has just gone up or is about to go up. And I think we've seen just the beginning of it. cost of a barrel of oil, it's over $100 now. When was the last time you heard that? Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Jeff Barton. Hey, check out our website, mortgagevoice.com. There you can find our latest episodes on demand of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. You can also read my blog. Hey, my blog's awesome. Keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out. Bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. With us immediately is Brenda Scott. I wanted to bring her on quickly as we have this segment, and all the segments seem to shrink as the show goes on. Brenda, how are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. And thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Several things, actually. There's obviously what's happening going on in Europe between Russia and Ukraine and the invasion. And I talked at length in a couple of segments about exactly how that might affect the mortgage market and where the flight to money might go and how that might affect the 2-year versus the 10-year and inflation and a bunch of other things. But from you personally, have you heard anything from in which your clients are a bit nervous about locking their loans or about the availability of funds, or has it all just been business as usual?
No, it's been pretty much business as usual. I mean, we have a lot of good programs, a lot of different programs are becoming available for them. So as long as they can get what they need, whether it's refinancing, pulling the cash, you know, they have options, and they choose to make the best option on, do I need the cash now, do I need it later? Most of them are just taking the cash right now.
Okay, that's good. That you brought up programs is interesting. I read that refis are down about 40-50%, which obviously means that companies that like ours that do loans need loans, and that the guidelines might loosen up a bit and more programs being offered. Are you seeing that too?
Oh, yes. I've even seen a couple of lenders offer a 40-year term because, you know, the rate might be a little higher, but the bottom line, your payments are going to pan out to about the same with the cash. So they're trying to accommodate everybody. I mean, there's programs that will qualify you with 1099, bank statements. You know, you don't need tax returns.
Right.
So it's a lot of good things that's still coming up right now.
No, that's excellent information simply because, you know, we hear doom and gloom a lot in our business when times are bad. When times are good, you really don't hear much from us. But when times are bad, you hear a lot of moaning. And, you know, so for the consumer who is looking to obviously get a loan in a rising rate environment, and especially since now that we've got some uncertainty possibly towards the 10 and the 2-year, even though stimulus is gone because of flight to safety, the programs themselves, what do you think and where do you think most of these loans are going to end up going? You think the purchase is going to go back to an FHA market? You think we're going to
I think we're going to go back to the FHA market. We're going to start doing those CAL loans, those CalPER loans.
Yep.
They're real good. People don't hear about them as much because the need wasn't there, but it's going to come back. FHA, VA,
right.
All these things are really going to come back because it's still a benefit. It's still a benefit. Is what, you know, a lot of people want to take cash out and just have on hand because they don't know what's going to go on with, you know, this war and stuff that's going on. They want to make sure they got some kind of liquid assets on hand.
Okay, interesting. I met with, you know, and this is going to sound real highbrow, but I have people that watch my money, right? I can make the money, but I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
A lot of, you know what I mean?
Right.
Meeting with these people, and they sit down and they talk to you, and they talk about reinvesting all of your, you know, money, all your cash, and you're telling me, and I agree with what you're saying, that people may want to have a little nest egg or even a big nest egg in case, you know, they just want to have it to feel more secure. So in the inflationary environment that we're in, What is the best play for some of these people? I know investing in a like a rental property is a way to go. Stock market certainly, or just leave it in cash. What are your people taking the money out? What are they doing?
They're taking the money out. They're buying non-owner occupied properties.
Right.
Who are debt servicing themselves with the rent right now. And a lot of them are building on these Airbnb. You know, you can convert now your home, and you can rent that out through Airbnb. You can get a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex, and rent that through Airbnb and make a grip. It's still good money.
Oh, I think the financials on that make sense. If you don't mind getting calls at, 11, 12 o'clock at night, that the drain's plugged, or
you're making $200,000 a year, you could pay somebody to do that for you, right?
See, I'm cheap. I'm thinking maybe you're making a couple thousand a month, but yeah, if you're making that kind of money, absolutely, you bring somebody in.
No, we got a client. She has 3 units, and she has converted these 3 units to Airbnb. And I kid you not, she made $199,000 last year.
Wow. Wow, that is stupendous. That is an unbelievable amount of money.
Yes.
Yeesh.
Yes. Yes. Now, you have some areas where Airbnb is really restricted. So you got to make sure when you do those.
That's true.
Mean, you know, you buy it in mind that it's going to be a non-owner, but if you're thinking it's going to be your Airbnb, you got to check the guidelines, the city codes for those.
Well, yes, I know. We are out in Vegas, been there for years, and they passed, I don't know, as soon as Airbnb started, they said, okay, no, within, I think it's a couple miles of the strip, you can't have one.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, you really got to protect yourself and watch out what you're doing. I mean, I think rentals are okay, but not Airbnbs.
Yeah, well, they're doing rentals. Rents are very high right now.
Right.
I mean, you could rent a 3-bedroom, 2-bath for $3,200 a month.
Now, this is where, what area are you talking about?
I'm talking Orange County, okay. L.A. County.
Now, our listening audience from Albuquerque all the way up to Lake Tahoe and everything in between, you know, there are all these kind of opportunities, whether the numbers are what Brenda is saying is, you know, the same as in your area. But certainly because rents are so high, yeah, it's really become a much better financial proposition to maybe do something like that, whether it's Airbnb or not, or whether it's just rental or not. With the option,
exactly.
It's really, yeah, it's a good idea.
Exactly. And it debt services stuff, so you're good. You're not in a hole.
Well, you're talking about the debt service loan, obviously, right? I mean, you're talking about...
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yes, that's a good loan.
Yep.
Requires minimum documentation.
Right, and in terms of the down payment, what is the down payment on that DSCR loan?
Well, we got some that's 10% and 20%. It just depends on how much you want to pay, you know, what's the cost of that money you're buying.
So it's all about the rate then. So if you get a 10% down, your rate's going to be a bit higher, right?
Your rate's going to be a bit higher, and if you're 20% down, then it's going to be just a tad bit lower.
Huh, it's interesting. You know, and
as long as they have 1 year prepay, or you can buy the prepay out, and you pay an interest only. Some of them go as far as interest only, if I'm not mistaken, for 30 years.
Wow, so it's a balloon payment at the end after 30 years of, wow.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
I mean, yes, not bad.
That's not bad. So basically, right, exactly.
It's really not a bad market. I mean, I know we're not at a 2% interest rate, but you can still get 3.5%.
Yeah.
That's still a good rate.
No, that's a great rate. I mean, I saw 30-year fixed rates went over 4%. It's kind of stayed there for a while, but the rest of the loans, 15, jumbo, FHA, they're all still in the mid-3s. I agree with you.
Still not bad rate. Still not bad market.
Well, Brenda Scott from Malibu Funding, thank you for coming on. Listen, you want to shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you, especially if they want a terrific agent who knows the market.
Oh, please call me, Brenda Scott, 562 500 2400. Love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Brenda Scott from Malibu Funding, and she services Southern California. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton in the mortgage business, in that I'm your mortgage voice, and I've been here for 8 years, probably be here for at least that many more, trying to help you wend your way through what's going on in the mortgage market. It changes constantly, and outside events in the world really affect what happens in the mortgage industry, because there's always a flight to safety, whether it's the 2-year or the 10-year, and that is really going to affect your rate depending on exactly what it is that that money does to those particular instruments. We talked about it somewhat in the psyche. We talked about it somewhat in the actual product, but how are you feeling out there? What do you feel about what's going on in the world? And is it affecting your decision to plunk down roots and maybe get an investment going? Anyway, to join me to try to talk about a little bit more of what's going on in the world and certainly what's going on in the mortgage business is Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding in Las Vegas, Nevada. Chuck, how are you?
I'm outstanding, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Let's just get right to it. Okay, so the war footing. We talked earlier on the show, Daryl and I, about 9/11, what happened then, what you were doing then, but how it affected me in my business, and then, of course, how it affected the world forever. I don't know if this is that type of event, but it could be. Have you heard anything from your particular clients about what's going on? Are they worried about, you know, the availability of funds? Are they worried about rates going up because of it? Do you hear anything?
Yes, absolutely. Whenever you get into these situations, Jeff, the markets in their entirety go a little wacky.
Yep.
As we saw the Dow stock market down, 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 record down. And people just get a little bit shaky and uncertain. It's way too early to tell, but history lets us know that it's going to be affected in some way, for sure. Obviously, we're going to be affected. Whether the rates get affected, the access to the money may cease or slow down. A lot of different banks that we deal with may pull back on some things just so they can see it get settled again. So there's always going to be effect. Can't see it this soon. We're still doing deals. We're still closing deals. I closed many today. But, yeah, whenever we get involved with these kind of situations and scenarios, there's going to be effect somewhere. You just don't know how soon it's going to hit.
I think you hit the nail on the head when, you know, in these situations, you really got to wait it out and see. I know there are knee-jerk reactions from a lot of people. I think when you're trying to lock a loan, let's say you've been floating and you're worried about certain things, you want the rates to drop down a little, what would you tell somebody today if they were asking you whether they should lock or not?
I would absolutely, positively tell them to lock.
Okay.
At the end of the day, if you lock, obviously, I had several loans that I just had, Jeff.
Yep.
Kept going up. They weren't ready to go. They're 4, then they go 4.5, and they're 5. The bank finally just said, we're going to lock it out at 5.75. If it gets better, we can discuss, because we can go down by law, we just can't go up. We think it's a better situation, and you lock right now for that 30 year. Because we've been at an all-time low, and now it's creeping back up.
Yep.
But to get back into the 5s or 6s, you'll be where we were before all of this great rate started. People were comfortable at 5 and 6. So I would say lock.
Okay.
And at least you'll be there.
Okay. Now these kind of rates you're talking about are really non-QM products, I'm guessing, or, you know, the type of product where maybe it's not a conventional loan.
Correct. I'm talking about non-QM deals. These are the deals I'm closing. As far as a traditional loan is concerned, obviously, just, you know, if you're still in the 3s, you're doing really good.
Yep.
In some cases, I have a 15-year client that is still in the 2 1/8, really low. And so, at the end of the day, if you can still get those kind of rates, traditionally, yeah, you lock those rates, because those rates are you know, those rates, those are the lowest rates you're going to get. They're great on the market, especially for what we're doing. And I think you lock. I don't think you wait because of the uncertainty. These things might balloon up, Jeff, to, you know, you go from a 2.5% or 3% loan to a 4.5% loan or 5% loan. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay, Las Vegas, properties on the market. You know, there's about 3,000, maybe a little bit more. That's obviously no properties on the market. Do you think because of what's happening in Ukraine between the Ukrainians and the Russians, what's going on with the rising interest rate environment that we seem to be in, although it hasn't hit yet, you think that's going to slow down the purchase market at all?
Well, I think it will take some people. So we always talk about this.
Yep.
You can be interest rate conscious, or you can be check stroking conscious.
Right.
Right? And so right. At the end of the day, we deal with a lot of individuals who are interest rate conscious. These particular situations and happenings, we call these, you know, these circumstances that occur, they cause people who are interest rate conscious to kind of push themselves out of the market. They're more leery because they're looking for the low interest rate.
Right.
You know, there's certain kind of programs and products that you can get in place where the interest rates, Jeff, might not be as good, but they're still comparable to a traditional loan because there's no mortgage insurance. There are certain things that you could do that can offset that. I would say the individuals who are looking for the lowest interest rate, it's going to kind of make them leery and walk away. People who are wanting to transact, there's a lot of other options out here. Malibu Funding provides them, allows you to stay in the game and still keep your check stroke low.
Well, that's, yeah, I think that the options for those type of people, especially in the non-QM sector, really provide solutions for, you know, the person that just doesn't want to show as much documentation as they might have to for a 30-year fixed rate, 20% down. And if you can get it 10%, even though you're paying maybe another point and a half on your loan, they're still pretty low, the rates. I mean, if you're getting anything in the fives, you're doing really well, especially if it's a low down payment and limited documentation loan. And a lot of people like those type of loans, especially when they have to do it quick. And in some of these real estate markets, you got to do it quick.
You have to stay competitive. You have to go quick because the way the market was, people are still looking for, you know, there's many different options that people or sellers are looking at. They're looking at who's going to come with the highest bid, right?
Right.
Who can come cash? Who's going to come with the quickest closing? These are all things that we can still accomplish in non-QM market with less documentation. And
right.
Once again, no mortgage insurance. Now you can go to a loan up to $1 million, $2 million, only put 10% down, and don't have mortgage insurance, and can close it just as fast or faster than a traditional loan, which will allow you to stay in the game and be competitive.
Right, and I think in this market, when you're seeing, you know, every year, at least for the last 4 or 5 years, property value has been going double digits up in terms of, you know, how much they're worth each year. It goes 10% more. That's pretty good. Last year, even in Las Vegas, I think it was 18% property values went up. Amazing.
Absolutely going up. And you think about it, Jeff. If you can go put 10% down on a $2 million house, you know, and you can have no mortgage insurance, as opposed to another situation where it's a jumbo situation, interest rate's going to be higher, and now you have to pay mortgage insurance, Jeff.
Well,
that's something to look at.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't mind paying 5%, 5.5%, as opposed to 4% on a different situation if I've got flexibility. And I think a lot of times flexibility is as good as, you know, a point on your loan. I mean, if I can jump into this thing quick and I can make sure that it happens, yeah, that's flexibility. That's the ability of the lender to be able to make things happen, even if they're paying a little bit more rate, it's really worth it.
I'm in complete agreement. We offer all types of loans. Big advocate for individuals who are structured properly to get into a traditional loan. Even though the rates will go up, they're still low, very low and very competitive for traditional loans. If you're in looking and you don't have the traditional financing structure, a non-QM is a perfect way to go. You can do a bank statement loan with non-QM. You can do a profit and loss with non-QM. You can do many different things that will qualify you for the loan that a traditional loan would not allow you to do. I'm a big advocate of any type of loan that you want to do with Malibu Funding, but we have many, many options for people to qualify.
Excellent. Shout out your phone number, if you will, or a way by which they can get a hold of you for someone who obviously can get them the property that they need and want.
Absolutely. You can reach me at 702-328-5191. That's 702-328-5191. Or you can email me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczenith.
Chuck, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the show. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 79620, that's Malibu Funding's NMLS number, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Hey, our show is available whenever you need information. That's right. You may need mortgage information when you're going out to dinner, when you're taking people to the zoo. You may need it driving down the street. If you do need it, this is on demand. We make it easy for you. You can find our podcast on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our Mortgage Voice Minutes and weekly program always available on YouTube. Podcasts from wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. This is Jeff Barton. I am the Mortgage Voice. I've added that. It's a new tag for me. Anyway, appreciate you listening. Thanks very much. Joining us, as she always does to give us the best information about what's happening in new programs, especially with the way the world is today, is Wendy Van Wessel from Kind Lending. Wendy, how are you?
I am just fine today. Jeff, how about yourself?
I'm good, thank you. First off the bat, Stearns Lending is out of the wholesale business. What do you think of that?
I think that Blackstone that owned them and then it was sold to Guaranteed Rate, he just wasn't interested in the TPO or wholesale side of things, so he sold it out from under them, and it was a shock to the whole team. I feel sorry for them.
Oh, no question about it. And, I don't know, 300-plus people got laid off at the same time.
Yeah, it seems as though there's not a whole lot of margin on the conventional side. And look what Fannie and Freddie did. They added those huge hits for high balance loans and second homes because they're not as interested as to lend to affluent borrowers.
Yeah,
California,
right.
Over 647-200 is not necessarily an affluent borrower.
No, it isn't. But, yeah, I did see Fannie and Freddie do that. And this is on the heels of reversing that same thing that they had added. I think it was a half a point. Didn't they do that? What was it called? Adverse market condition, half point that they added?
Yeah, and then they took it back.
And now they're adding this. So it's a confusing time over at the GSEs.
Yeah, it's what happens when you put people in a position where they don't know what they're doing.
I agree with you. I wish that they would stick with a lot of what happened during the Trump years, just because I think they did understand what was happening in the lending business a little bit more, and they were a little bit more forgiving from the CFPB and a couple of the other oversight agencies. I did think the GSEs should have been exited from government oversight. I thought that should have happened too. I think the private marketplace is a better place for financial decisions to be made. But at least they stopped the sweep, which was good. So we're seeing the equity that they make on a monthly or a quarterly basis continue to build their own inside equity so that they can once again exit at some point, although there is no exit strategy at the moment.
There is not. And the same idea with our energy. We're ordering from the volatility of the world, Putin,
yep,
getting oil from him instead of our own pipelines. That's another iffy call, and look at the poor truckers that are affected by it and the empty store shelves. It's a little volatile out there, and look what the market did today. Down 800, now it's down about 200. The 10-year bond went to 1.86, which is lower than it was because it was over 2 for a little bit.
Yep. No, if you look at the height when it was, I think it was almost a 2.1, maybe a little bit less, but it's dropped probably 25 basis points in the past week, which is telling you, and as a result of today, or as a result of the invasion into Ukraine, everybody runs to the U.S. Treasuries in order, because that's the safe place to put your money, and that's going to drive down interest rates. So, you know, last week, jokingly, I was telling people, hey, you know, root for war if you want to lower interest rate. Well, now we're seeing it all come to fruition.
Yeah, I pray for those people over there in the Ukraine. And I also think that we need to keep an eye on what we're doing. You said that the Bitcoin fell and that gold and the 10-year bond is where they're flying to. I agree with you. We do have, on the brighter side of things after that,
all right,
some interesting programs coming out now. So people that couldn't qualify for mortgages before can now qualify for mortgages. We just started yesterday no FICO program for FHA, conventional, and VA for our vets.
Wow. So
no FICO score.
So you're not looking at FICO scores at all for a VA loan?
Right. We have non-traditional credit, cell phone bills, electricity bills, rent. You prove to us in another way that you're competent to make payments on time, and that you don't have to have a FICO score to do that. Just have non-traditional credit is what they call it.
No, I like that. And it was supposed to be factored in as a part of the redoing of how credit worked. I don't think it ever happened, but that was supposed to be part of the plan, was to be able to include things like your bill, your rent payment, your cell phone bill, all these monthly recurring bills that you keep up with are supposed to be added in or used, as you're saying now, as alternate credit. I think it's a great idea.
Yep. And we also have the non-QM, which is supposed to be, if the rates are going higher, but temporarily they're not, but we don't know where they're going to go, they're going to be definitely higher with those hits for second homes and non-owner OCs.
Yep.
We have non-QM products that go to $3.5 million. They have a 40-year interest-only payment, so you're not looking at the rate, you look at the payment. So you have an interest-only payment for 10 years, and say you have a 5% interest rate, and then after that 10-year period of interest-only, you could be paying down the premium. They recast it for 30 years with that same 5% rate, and at that time, that might be a great rate. We don't know what's going to happen in 10 years.
So this is like a 40-year loan with interest only for the first 10, right?
Correct, and that's available on all our non-QM programs.
Wow.
You can do just a W-2. You can do just a P&L. If you have assets in stocks in the 401k, you can divide it by 84%, and you're done proving your income.
Say that again?
You can divide your assets by 84, and if that covers your liabilities and your principal and interest payment for your mortgage, you're done proving your income.
Oh, that's a good deal. So people who are really property rich or cash rich, does it have to be liquid assets or any assets?
No, it can be stocks. It can be 401k.
Okay.
We just have to look at it. But those assets are just divided by 84. We have the DSCRs on the non-QM side. I have one in for $2.2 million because that property, the rent they can get for it, pays for their principal, interest, and taxes.
Wow.
And because it does, it's a one-to-one ratio, that they don't have to prove any income on that one either. It's called a DSCR, Debt Servicing Credit Ratio.
I thought it was Debt Service Credit Ratio. Is that what you said?
DSCR, yeah, Credit Ratio.
Well, that's excellent. What's a down payment on a loan like that? Does it vary?
You can do that to depending on your FICO score, right?
Right. Oh, I see. Okay. So if you have a 750, you can put 10% down. If you have a 650, it's 20%, something like that.
I'm looking for it.
Oh, well.
I go to at a glance. I'm cheating.
No, that's fine. It's better to be accurate than guess.
Right. No, non-QM at a glance. I like these programs.
Right.
They're easier to underwrite. So you need a 660 and your LTV is 90%, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. It's 660?
It's 660.
Oh, I would have thought it'd been higher. So that's pretty good, too. I mean,
yeah. And then you can't go to $3.5 million with that one,
right,
that FICO score, but you can do some things there. And then if you've had a BK or you've had a credit event, they call it, BK,
right,
a foreclosure, something like that. You can
medical
have
bills, sure.
Seasoning, too.
Oh, excellent. Okay, now these are all terrific programs. And you're saying they rolled out a few that you mentioned earlier. These are some of the traditional programs that have been in non-QM for a while. But that's really what the market needs, is some variety, especially since we're seeing refis dry up. We're going to have to see a softening in terms of what's asked for in terms of documentation for loans as well as the product themselves.
Yep. Glenn Stearns, who owns Kind, is not a dummy. He's been in the business for over 30 years.
Right.
He took some of his best people over here, and he also wanted, he knows, he thinks that the market is going to be the non-QM, like a lot of other lenders do. And I have to agree with them, that and the jumbos. Conventional's got a very thin margin, and it's going to be a battle for those.
Yep. Everybody's
well, because you right now with the non-QM.
Well, you're battling the big banks. You're battling, you know, Rocket and UWM. I mean, they're all just going to cut each other's throats for, you know, what, 10 basis points margin? I mean, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Wendy, we're up against it. I want to let people get a hold of you. How do they do that?
They can call me at 310-457-4396. That's not a cell, so don't text me there. Or wvanwessel at kindlending.com.
And Kind Lending is in all 50 states, I believe, yes?
Except for Nevada and Hawaii.
Except for Nevada and Hawaii. Oh, two places that I like to go. So anyway, Wendy, thanks very much for coming on. I truly, really appreciate it, and you're always such a great guest.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's Wendy Van Wessel from Kind Lending. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and thank you very much for tuning in. Show is available upon demand wherever you need information, even if you need it right away. Fit your busy schedule. Of course, if you want something, you got to get it right now. We make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our Mortgage Minute weekly program also available on YouTube. Podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts, we have a ton of them. Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. This is Jeff Barton, and I am The Mortgage Voice. I like that one. I am The Mortgage Voice. We're talking earlier in the show about, and throughout the show, about events that take over the world very quickly. We talked a little bit about 9/11. We talked some about how that affected. I remember that particular day very well, as most Americans who were, you know, working at the time do. Younger Americans probably don't. And you know what? It's amazing that how many millions of younger people were born after 9/11. I mean, this is, you know, what, 21 years later. So, yeah, it was one of those things whereby it happened. I watched it happen on TV. I went to work, and I was mad because nobody would answer the phone that day. And, of course, being in California, this had happened in New York, but not realizing that the globe itself, the way people would react to things and do business would change that day forever. I was irritated. Now, this shows the naivete and also the total self-centeredness that a lot of us have during any day of work where we're just concentrated on what we're trying to do to make a living. So in this world, in what we're dealing with now, and because this is really, I mean, I was born 10 years after World War II, okay? So 1955, the war ended in 1945. There really hasn't been tanks rolling across Europe since 1945. I mean, it's really, to me, it took me, and I had to say, okay, so we got the show. We'll talk about what it means to the mortgage market. We'll talk about what it means to people's, you know, psyche and how they address their daily lives. I dare say that most of the world probably isn't paying that much of attention to it. But those people who understand not only how complex, but also how fragile markets are. Okay, the financial markets went down, they came back, let's wait and see, right? But we're not focused on what the companies themselves are doing. Now, the mortgage market, well, we're looking to see if the flight to safety is going to happen and in how much it's going to happen. There are other players now in that particular method. I mean, if you buy Chinese bonds, for instance, if you buy corporate bonds, if you go into gold, if you, you know, like most people during most bad times, go into U.S. Treasuries, usually the two-year. And the two-year is a very good indication of what's happening. to and where the investments are coming from. Let's just give you an idea. And a lot of this has to do with when they say that the yield curve is shrinking. What they mean is there's a difference between what the 10-year pays you if you buy a 10-year bond and what the 2-year pays you if you buy a 2-year bond. Normally, if you buy the longer bond, it's going to, you know, give you more of a yield. The shorter bond, obviously, right? That makes total sense. So let's just take a look at that. The 10-year, which is what we look at on the show all the time because we know that the mortgage rates are tied to the 10-year. We just know that. Okay, so 1.95 is the yield on the 2-year bond. On the 10-year bond, I'm sorry. The 2-year bond is at 1.536. So when that distance between the 10 and the 2 becomes narrower and narrower, we know that historically that's an indication that a recession is possible because of that, you know, yield curve. And when the 2-year actually makes more than the 10-year, that's a bad sign. So we've seen this narrowing recently, and it'll be interesting to see if the flight to safety is to the 2-year. I think that would probably be right. And then what would we do about the 10-year in order to make sure that the 10-year is actually viable? Usually that means we have to lower the price on the mortgage-backed securities and up the yield. They're inverse in terms of their relationships. If you're thinking about, okay, what does all this mean? Well, normally when we're talking about bonds and how they affect the mortgage interest rates, and traditionally that's the way it's been, taper aside, the stimulus aside, in normal markets, the 10-year, whatever the yield is in the 10-year, is in direct opposite proportion to whatever they're costing. Now, a bond, what is a bond? Okay, so you buy a piece of paper that says you're going to get paid a piece, you know, whatever you paid plus X percentage every year. And that's going to be your basis by which you're evaluating what you're buying. Well, in this situation, what we're dealing with is that during times like this, where you have a war footing, you have a wartime mentality in the financial markets, you're going to have to, for the 10-year, offer anybody who buys it a higher yield because you're selling debt. And because the flight to safety from people around the world is to the 2-year, that's going to drop that particular yield and up their particular price. So we have to do almost the opposite for the 10-year to make sure that that remains viable as well. It's interesting, and it's something that you should be watching. However, if you're today, we got a 4%, 4.17 30-year fixed, 3.42 15. 3.75 is the FHA, 3.65 is the jumbo, and 3.71 is the 5-1 ARM. Rates are still pretty good, although that 30-year is continuing to creep up. It's almost gone up, you know, a full point in the last, I don't know, 90 days, 6 months. That's a lot. And when you're talking about mortgage interest rates, you know, we don't like to see that kind of volatility, although we will see it soon. We're going to see a lot more of it. Let's just get into a bit of news to use for you. Mortgage apps down 13%, 41% from 2021. Well, that's obvious, right? Rates go up, people don't want to refi. I'm not going to refi out of my 2.5%, you know, 30-year fixed mortgage. The only reason you're going to do that is if you have a refi where you need some money. If you have some money that you need to take out for whatever reason, there's all kinds of reasons to take out money. Usually it's health-related for older people, college-related for younger people. And if you're sitting on the equity house, which you've gained over the last 2 years, probably 30%, maybe you want to take some of that out. Now, there's a couple ways to do that. You can do that through a complete refi, 30-year fixed or whatever it is, 15, or you can just do a HELOC, or you can do a second. All of those things are, you know, things that you can do in order to take money out of your house. But taking money out of your house and redoing that mortgage to 4% if you have a 2.75% 30-year fixed, I don't know. Is that a smart idea? Anyway, people are weighing that, and that's why one of the reasons people are staying in their house longer is because they have a sweet deal. I don't want to get rid of that. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to fix it up. I don't need to sell it. Yeah, all that's true. National Association of Realtors countersues Rex. Okay, the other monopoly, or however you want to term it, if you've ever sold a house, you know that you pay, I don't know, 5%, let's say, 5% commission to your listing agent, the agent that you hire, in order to list your house. Now, they don't get the 5%. They usually split it with the person who brings the buyer's agent. Well, this Rex Realty, which is a discount realtor, says, well, why are we doing that? And why is the MLS, all the multiple listing services, make us do that? We think that's wrong. Why am I paying? Why I'm listing the house. Why do I have to pay the person who brings the buyer anything? Let the buyer pay. And you know what? That's a heck of an argument. It makes total sense to me. If you're getting hired by a buyer to buy a house, you should negotiate with the buyer what they're going to pay you to do that. Traditionally, through this model that NAR has set up and has been historically, I mean, going back 100 years, been doing, I think and this is an old joke, but I think when the Native Americans sold Long Island to whoever was the Pilgrims, I think they, what did they pay? Six beads and six pennies. I forget what exactly it was.
Something of very little value. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the going joke in the realtor community is always, well, what do you think the commission was? And of course, 6%, you know. But it's a pretty interesting lawsuit that's going on. And I think Rex is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, and I think they're going to win. So it'll change the nature and the face of real estate and how real estate is bought and sold and how relationships between buyers and buyer's agents are done. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening through all my worry about what's going on in Europe. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.